Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us, we're your friendly people dashboard. Let me ask you a question, all of you HR leaders at small and medium companies. I know you want to be data-driven. I know you're pulling messy, crappy spreadsheets from a lot of different HR systems you're using and trying to turn it into something compelling. And I also know that a lot of the times you wait to the last minute, it's painful. It's a time-consuming process, and you don't like it, and you've been wondering, why isn't there a better way? Well, look no further, because that's why we built Employee Cycle, the people dashboard to help you bring all your data together into one centralized place with pre-built API connectors to the best-in-breed HR systems you're all using, systems like Namely, Greenhouse, Bamboo HR, Office Vibe, Reflective, you name it. All you have to do is drop in your API keys into the dashboard, and within a few hours, we'll pull all your data in so that you and your company can view, track, share, and analyze all your people data from one place. Please visit employeecycle.com if you're interested to learn more. You can actually schedule a demo so that we can explore how we can help you, or you can actually set up a free trial and take it for a spin for yourself. Employeecycle.com, check it out. All right, well, that's enough about me and our product, because today we have a very special guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Twania Hood Hill. She's the VP of People and Culture at TechSoft3D. And today we're going to discuss how to create human connection while balancing Zoom fatigue. Twania, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Twania! Woo! Happy to be here.
So we're so excited to have you here as well. And we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, which is asking you, Twania, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
That's an interesting story, Bruce. I came in intentionally, but not initially. So I started my career as a chemical engineer, and I worked as an engineer in a products research capacity at Procter & Gamble. And recognized very early on that chemical engineering wasn't my life's work. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't really passionate about wearing a lab coat and lab glasses every day. And so decided to go back to graduate school. I went and got an MBA. And that MBA allowed me to concentrate in human resource management and behavioral science, which led me to what we now know as organizational development. And so my journey was to get into organizational development through consulting work. And I worked at as a management consulting in one of the top 10 management consulting firms, did a lot of business process reengineering, did a lot of looking at benefits and looking at employee life cycles and helping organizations think about what that looks like for them. And then from there, I actually ended up getting closer into first training and development and then totally into HR. So now I head up all of our HR functions, of which organizational development, learning and development are part, but also we've got all the other functions of HR and HR operations as well.
Awesome. Thanks for that context. So Twania, before we get into the topic, I want you to help paint a picture for our audience in regards to what does your workforce look like? What types of roles do you have? How many employees do you have? Where was everyone located and now is located during the pandemic? What does that look like?
Yeah, you know, I think the world is definitely, you know, different in light of the pandemic, and we're no exception. At TechSoft3D, we're a small tech company. We have about 120 employees and growing. We will soon be about 132 employees in a couple of weeks. We're growing organically and inorganically quite a bit by acquisition. So we have main offices that have been primarily closed, but some have opened now because of COVID. So we have our largest office is in Lyon, France. We have an office in Berkeley, California, and we have an office in Bend, Oregon. We also have smaller offices in Yokohama, Japan, and in Stavely, UK. So what has changed for us is because, you know, all the offices closed initially because of the pandemic, we recognized and we learned that we could actually operate pretty efficiently remotely. And while we've always had remote employees, we've got employees in Seattle, Washington, and in North Carolina, we've got remote employees who've always worked from home. We now realize that we could have even more. And so we are now looking at potentially even closing a couple of our smaller offices so that we can take advantage of the fact that people are doing great work and they're doing it in a remote way. That has some challenges, and we can talk about those, but the way that this is working now for us is that of the 120 or so employees that we have, roughly half or close to half could be working remotely in even the next 3 to 4 months.
That's interesting. So when it comes to looking at those smaller offices that you're looking to close, in the spirit of our topic being around human connection, are you offering those employees the option to work at a co-working space or some type of place where they could work if they actually are craving for that human connection? Or will those people just work from home or a coffee shop or wherever they decide to work?
Right. I think it's going to be hybrid. It's going to be a mix of all of what you just mentioned, Bruce. Definitely people will work from home and their home base will be their main office. Yet there are going to be times when people do want to work in a co-working space or meet someone, you know, from their site, and they want to get together and work together. You know, there's going to be situations where maybe our sales force wants to meet a potential client or partner, as we call them, and they need a space for that. And so we recognize that the co-working spaces or the sort of open spaces are going to be important for bringing in clients and having people work together. So I would say it's going to be a hybrid with primarily, I think people will be working from their home base. But you mentioned, you know, that it's important just for the connection. And that is, you know, I know that's what we're really talking about today. That is critical. And we're encouraging people who are in the same locations to get together, to have coffee together, say, you know, social distance coffee with masks on, you know, except for sipping the coffee. You know, we want people to be able to get together for drinks after work, or, you know, we're a social organization. We believe in having fun together. And that is an aspect that we're missing with everyone being remote. And so we really want to encourage folks to get together. I literally, before this conversation, Bruce, just hung up from a peer of mine who heads up our partner success team. And he and I said, okay, drinks on the calendar for next week, for sure. You know, we've got to do it. And we're getting to the point now, because we've been in this for quite a few months, I think longer than many of us expected. Now we're getting to the point where we just have to be intentional about it. And we encouraged all of that connection.
So this may be a silly question, but why is human connection so important? And when you define human connection, what exactly are you thinking about as you're advocating for your employees to have this type of human communication or connection?
Yeah, you know, we talked about, you know, part of the title of this conversation is Zoom fatigue, right? And I would say that while you and I can be on a screen together, that can be exhausting, not energizing. Whereas when you are face to face with someone in the same physical space, there is an exchange of pheromones, you know, there's energy that exchanges that then helps to re-energize you. And it actually helps with brainstorming and energetic conversations or even healthy debates. And so while we try to simulate that human connection on Zoom, you can't get it completely. Just looking at a screen, like right now, I'm on my laptop and I look at my laptop literally now 10, 12 hours a day. And it's all an energy drain. And so that is why, you know, we're starting to do some things that help us connect if we can connect in person. If we can't, even doing some things that are beyond the norm of just meeting together. Let's have some fun together. Let's have some contests. Let's do some happy hours. You know, anything where we're getting out of our norm and create and breaking up the monotony, so that every day doesn't feel like the same day over and over again. So we've started to put some things in place, Bruce, where we think we're helping employees. We hope that we're helping employees with some of this COVID fatigue. Some of the things that we're actually, some of the practices that we put in place is we are having virtual happy hours. And what's nice about it is that you don't have to be in the same location. And because we're such a global organization, yet we're small, it allows everyone to connect. And so we're doing those kinds of happy hours and celebrations. We're doing all kinds of contests, you know, where people are sending in photos of their kids or of their pets or of the views out of their windows and anything that we can think of to kind of shake up some of the monotony. You know, there are other ideas that I've actually read about that are really pretty intriguing. One company is a global company like ours is taking people on country tours where someone will take their phone and record themselves walking around their area or their neighborhood or going to a shopping area or a market in their neighborhood and then showing folks what that looks like and sharing that with people. So we kind of get this global country tour, which is nice. You know, so there's all kinds of things that we can do, which again, still at a screen, I get that, but at least it helps break up the monotony of the continuous meetings that we tend to have if we're not on top of trying to manage some of that.
Those country tours definitely sound pretty cool.
Yeah, isn't that cool? I mean, if you're going to be a global organization, you know, let's take advantage of that. You know, let's use it to our benefit. Let's learn about these other cultures and other, you know, locations, other languages, other geographies, you know, it's pretty fascinating.
So I now want to ask you a couple questions, which I think are on the minds of a lot of HR leaders. And from previous interviews, it sounds like a lot of HR leaders are struggling with this balance of Zoom fatigue, human connection, but also realizing that they may be performing better than they did when they were in the office, or engagement may have increased to an all-time high, which they could never have thought to have had when they were in the office. So I'm curious, for the companies that have done this well and have been remote since inception, why is Zoom fatigue becoming an issue now, whereas it may not have been for the companies that have been remote for the past few years? What do you think that they've been doing that a lot of companies are currently struggling with since everyone is now on Zoom?
Well, you know, yeah, I think that's a great question. And if I really knew the answer, I'd write a book. But it's a challenge. It's absolutely a challenge. So you've got, like you said, you've got these companies who are always remote and have always been remote. And they work remotely and they have, I think their rhythms are designed for remote work. Even things like, you know, let's just get pretty granular. The length of meetings, you know, where you can have, if you're in the office, a 2-hour meeting that feels pretty, you know, normal. Now, a 2-hour meeting is exhausting. And so I think that companies who have not been working remotely and have transitioned to remote work, and I would say ours included, haven't been as agile about what works best for remote work. And I think meeting length is one of the ones that I know that we're dealing with every day is, you know, just because the meeting was 2 hours when we were together doesn't mean it has to be. Maybe we need to break it up into, you know, 30-minute segments, for instance. So I think that's one. I think the other is that, you know, people are sort of not necessarily set up to work from home. If you are working in an organization that is remote, you start a job that is a remote job, then you are more than likely set up. Your office space is set up. You have a place where you can go where you don't necessarily have the interruptions of day-to-day life in your house. You have, you know, your Wi-Fi connection is really strong, and all those things are already set up. I think for companies that had to go remote immediately, there are many employees who weren't really ready for working at home. I'm an example. We're finishing a basement. I was getting my office together, but now my Wi-Fi in my office isn't strong enough for me to be down there on Zoom meetings. So I have to come upstairs, be in a different place that is not as private, and I'm not as comfortable. But I have to do that from a Wi-Fi standpoint. So I think that's part of it. I think some companies are better at making the concessions. If we have snacks and we have, you know, mini kitchens, micro kitchens, you know, in our work offices, what do people who work from home get? You know, do we compensate for that? Do they get, you know, support again for some of the things that we talked about, Wi-Fi and making sure they have the right monitors in place? And then are they getting other ways to sort of take breaks? Are they getting, you know, snacks delivered, things like that? I'm not sure if I'm answering your question completely, Bruce. I know that from our standpoint, we are literally, when we kind of got caught in this remote workplace, we're literally figuring out all of these things as we go. And so we're, you know, people are saying, hey, this isn't working for me, or I don't have good connection. And so we're working on it as we go. So we're being responsive, but we weren't planned for in creating this. I don't know. I think the other thing about Zoom fatigue that's hard, and I think this is true for everyone, if you worked remotely from the beginning or not, is now with COVID, the energy at your home can be different. So whereas before, you might have been the only person in your house during the day or in your workspace, now you might have kids who need to homeschool. You might have a spouse or a partner who is also at home. And so there's a lot more energy. There's a lot more activity going on. And so it's harder and actually more exhausting to manage that and to get the thinking space that you need. So I think that's true for everyone, because COVID has added a new layer. It's not just working from home. It's what else is happening at home when you are working remotely that I think is different.
Definitely. That makes a lot of sense. In regards to trying to deal with this Zoom fatigue problem across the board, how are you finding potential challenges or barriers to help all the different types of employees in their specific role? So what I mean is, from a sales standpoint, I'm assuming that no one's going to meet anyone anywhere. And so a salesperson would, by default, have to be on Zoom meetings nonstop all day. I know with myself, when we're selling our Pupil Dashboard product, or when I'm talking to HR consultants, or I'm talking to existing customers, whoever it is, it was through Zoom already prior to COVID. And so it's basically been the same thing for me. And so I'm assuming with a lot of people in sales roles or roles where they're communicating to other people, they're on Zoom all the time. And for other people like engineers, it might be less important for them to need to be on Zoom, and they might be able to do a lot more work on Slack. And so with that point of people not being set up to work from home yet needing to be on Zoom all day, how are you dealing with those nuances of the different roles?
So we have been really clear with folks. And again, Bruce, I think I'm answering your question, but we've been really, really clear with our team that we want people to do what is best for them in their space, in the context of their home and in their family. And what that means is that they need to take the flexibility that they need. They need to take advantage of the flexibility that they can. We want people to work in a way that works for them. And so if you are, you know, a salesperson and you're literally on Zoom all day long, are you able to take a break? Are you able to get outside, go for a walk, go for a run, whatever you do to take a break mentally? Are you starting, you know, if you have, because we're global, we have often early morning meetings. And So I encourage folks to balance the day. So if you've got a call at 6 a.m. your time, then really you should be balancing that so that you feel comfortable ending your day at a time that works for you. It doesn't have to be 5 o'clock, right? And so I just think that allowing that flexibility is important, and asking people to really take care of themselves and letting them know that we care about that. And so I've not heard one incident of someone being concerned that an employee is not, you know, picking up a Slack, or, you know, they're not right immediately on email. Because again, just because it's during the day and just because you're working remotely doesn't mean that you have to be connected 100% of the time, even if your role requires it. And I would say, you know, even, you know, and you're right, you know, engineers have a lot more working alone time, but they even have meetings. You know, our team is doing Agile, so they have Scrum meetings and things like that, and they get together as well. And I think that, you know, being mindful of scheduling meetings and being mindful of what we're asking of people when we schedule meetings, especially the global meetings, and then also expecting and asking people to take care of themselves in whatever way works best for them. That is such an important point, and it's one that we've been stressing since the beginning of the pandemic, and we will continue to.
And the last question that I have is around the HR role itself and how you've been managing to balance human connection with Zoom fatigue. As HR has had probably the most challenging role, in my opinion, of helping employees navigate through their stress and anxiety and all their challenges through the pandemic, I'm curious how you have been balancing Zoom fatigue with human connection and how you would advise and recommend the HR leaders who are listening to balance Zoom fatigue as they're dealing with all the employee issues, but also trying to have human connection.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point that HR, we give of ourselves. We put out a lot of energy into the workplace. A lot of our personal emotion goes into the workplace. And because of that, we have to replenish. And I would say that that what's important about replenishing is, again, doing it, like making it a priority. I manage my stress by getting out and going for a quick run. And I will do it whenever I can. You know, if I have an early morning meeting, I might go out late morning or even early afternoon. You know, if I have a late meeting in the morning, I might go out first thing. But, you know, I say to HR folks a couple things. One is take care of yourself. Make sure that you replenish, because I understand that our jobs are hard and they are taxing and they take a lot out of us. And so we've got to put that back. The other thing I found really, really helpful is connection. Personal connection with other HR friends. I'm lucky to have had a long career and long enough that I've got people who I can touch base with, I can chat with, I can pick up the phone or, you know, send an email and say, hey, you know, can we connect at some point? Just again to re-energize and also to find out what other people are doing. That's how I actually found out about the global country tours. I was talking to a friend who is also in HR, and this is one of the things that they are doing. So those connections are critical. I'm also in a few Slack groups, Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, particularly LinkedIn groups, where I can connect with people that way. So I think it's a variety of ways, but I think connecting with people is critical. Connecting with like minds, connecting with people who also share the same challenges that we all share is really important. And I think the other piece is to do what it is that you do to replenish yourself and to make time for that. And don't feel guilty if you have to schedule time during the day, the workday, to do that.
Tawanya, thanks so much for all of the insight that you provided, and especially at the end, as you were being so authentic and transparent with how you're dealing with this and recommending to other HR leaders. So thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest.
Woo! Go, Tawanya!
Thank you, brother. This was fun.
So where can people find you and TechSoft3D online?
So we are at TechSoft3D.com. Feel free to check us out. We're a great little software engineering company. I am on LinkedIn. It's probably the best way. I'm actually more, I'm better on LinkedIn than any other social media. I'm under Tuanya Hood Hill. So feel free to check me out there as well.
Awesome. And we'll definitely be sure to include all of your contact info in the show notes. So if you enjoyed listening to this interview as much as Tuanya and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, if this is your very first time listening to one of our interviews and you came here because you're either already a huge super fan of Tuanya and you just had to hear what she was going to say, or you thought that this topic was compelling and top of mind, but now you're hungry for more interviews, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.